A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the second hour of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. The show goes on. Yes, we're glad to have you with us. You can always download the KSL Sports app and listen to KSL's Unrivaled. Any part of the show that you miss, you can go back and listen to. If you loved it the first time, you can also go back and listen as well. In the meantime, Scott, I've got something to do here. We're going to kick off the second hour of the program with the cut, and yes, we've got something to talk about here. It's a little bit of our rivalry minute here on KSL's Unrivaled. Let's do it.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so I want to bring something up here. It's our rivalry minute, which is when we're going to talk a little bit of BYU, a little bit of Utah news. I want to start off first with a story you can read over at KSLSports.com, written up by our own Mitch Harper, of course. BYU and Notre Dame. What is this? What is the dang status of that dang game that Notre Dame was supposed to honor BYU on that? Now, listen, when you make a deal with a team, If the team is so much more important than you, so much better than you, you'll see them do a 2-for-1 deal, right? Which is the deal that Notre Dame, it's hard to get Notre Dame to sign up a game for it with you. And BYU signed up to go 2-for-1 with Notre Dame. And in 2012 and 2013, BYU went to Notre Dame back-to-back years and lost back-to-back years at Notre Dame in South Bend. Now, I was particularly appreciative because I went to both of those games in both those 2 years, and I like going to that's a fun place to go there, to Notre Dame. But Notre Dame has to return the favor, and that was part of the agreement, and they haven't done it. And they said for a lot of years they were saying, man, we might not actually do it, we might just give you the money. And as reported by Mitch Harper, their athletic director, Notre Dame's athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, said, listen, I can just tell you this. We will honor at some point that contract with BYU. Now, what that means is they could pay him out, and they might not play. But they said they wanted to honor that by playing BYU either in Provo or at a location of their choice, which made me think to myself, why would they throw that in there? Why would they? The location of their choice is Provo. If you're BYU, I know BYU likes to play weird games, play games at like NFL venues, different places. This is not the game to do it. You want Notre Dame at home. You want Notre Dame coming to Provo. Notre Dame has come to Provo a bunch of times in the past. What's the problem now? What's Notre Dame's problem now with coming to? Notre Dame is not even an important football program anymore. It's not. I mean, it is important. But it's not as important as they think it is anymore. We can all agree.
Successful.
They are not successful.
They're way overrated.
Way overrated. And they've come to BYU at times when they've been even more important. And even more, like, even fewer. Look, they haven't won it. They won a national championship 4 years after BYU did. BYU won in 84. Notre Dame won in 88. That was the last time Notre Dame won it.
Yeah, but before that. They kind of, okay. Notre Dame kind of started college football. I mean, they did. Let's face it. Look,
Scott, Rutgers is so upset at you right now Because they played in the first college football game between Rutgers and Harvard back in 1869.
Actually, and the Ivy League schools were kind of the they were the powers back in the good old days. Here's what I don't understand. It's like you say, well, we're going to honor the contract, okay? But when you draw up a contract, don't you say, we're going to play two games at your place, fine, we'll play one at ours, and those games have to be scheduled by this date, within a certain time frame.
See, and I think that scheduling has gotten so wonky in college football that they will, I mean, you saw some of these deals that have been made with some of these games that have been put in the future, and BYU's not playing some of these teams until 2035. You see that they go, BYU signed up for a home-and-home with Wisconsin for 2035 and 2037.
So you have to have some flexibility in your scheduling then. Why are you not giving Notre Dame that flexibility? I mean, if you're saying these other – I mean, they play way out in the future. Well, why don't you just put this game way out in the future?
But that's the thing is that BYU's like, so where are we going to put this game? Notre Dame's all, I'll call you. Like, that's the thing.
A lot of people want to play Notre Dame. I know it's hard
don't
to realize
perpetuate
it.
This. Notre Dame doesn't. Don't let Notre Dame hear you say that.
But
a lot of people want to play Notre Dame because that's what they go. They go, even if your local news people even said that everybody wants to play Notre Dame.
You know that what I'm saying is truthful because we've talked to players in the Pac-12. Who play at USC and who play at Stanford, and they all go,
so lame.
We look forward to that game against Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Grow
up.
It is for players, it's one of the most iconic places to go play in South Bend at the stadium, the whole experience. It's hard to beat that experience. It just is.
It is,
and it's part of the tradition of Notre Dame and all that it stands for. It is a big part of college football, and it's always going to be there.
I'm trying to think of schools that are like that also have ties to the Catholic Church, just so I can like make a slight at Notre Dame and go, well, Boston College. That's a Catholic school. So look, Boston College has arguably had some pretty decent.
They've been a good program.
Notre Dame is arguably the second or third best Catholic university in all of college football. Well, Villanova, do they have a football program? I think they do. Division
if it makes you feel better, I think BYU is the very best LDS college in football. They're the best. Probably the only one.
Yeah.
But still
the
best.
Hold on. I'm looking around. I'm like, does SVU have one? No.
Well, there's Southern Virginia. They have a
football. I know. That's what I said, SVU. I wasn't saying CSI, Special Victims Unit or whatever.
Southern Virginia is not as good as BYU program.
No, they're not.
Yeah. I know that.
Is Rick still in?
Rick's has intramurals.
He's been out.
Yeah. They just have the intramural.
All right, fine. Scott, real quick, I wanted to bring up the all-important award watch list has started to roll out. And the Maxwell Award, which is awarded to college football's best overall player.
Yep.
It's like the 1B of awards. You've got the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
That's the overall like best player.
I think a lot of these trophies though have a lot of prestige to them.
For sure.
I
mean, and the Maxwell is one of those.
Yeah.
Typically the person who wins the Heisman Trophy will usually win the Maxwell Award
as
well.
Yes.
In fact, the last person to win it here in the state of Utah was Ty Detmer back in 1990. He won the Maxwell Award same year he won the Heisman Trophy. The question is, so the award watch list, BYU had somebody named to the Maxwell Award watch list early on, Tyler Allgeier. I think he deserved it. He obviously had a 1,200-yard rushing season last year. This is a guy who's, a surprisingly great out of the backfield.
He was really good for BYU, no question.
And then Utah's Charlie Brewer is also on this list. And I went, that's pretty interesting, considering that he's not he's not necessarily the starter, according to Utah.
Well, okay, this is what's interesting to me about all this. Because we know that these lists are put out by the schools. Like, these early nominations are, the schools are the ones that say, hey.
Are the ones who write it down?
Yeah, here's the guy that goes out and does
this. Well, then why don't they put six guys on that list?
Well, because they're realistic about, they're not all there. But what's interesting is Charlie Brewer just showed up.
Oh, so if Utah puts him on the list.
They're saying this guy is more than likely going to be our guy. And that's what I that's what I get from this.
That's interesting.
You know, if he wasn't if he was just kind of in a battle, if he was just, you know, they wouldn't do anything. But he's showing up on this list, and he's been nominated.
Utah put him there.
They put him there.
Now
so that that may tell you something.
Most
about,
of the time, you think it's like some sort of press club that puts this together.
I don't think people are going to be surprised that Charlie Brewer is the starter.
No,
this year,
but you know, when Utah's the one who actually puts his name on the watch list and wants it, that means they also, because half of this is the publicity that comes with it. That's what they want.
You know, speaking of Utah, that stadium, by the way,
it's coming along
almost complete.
Yeah,
and it looks so good.
Oh, you had eyes on it at the Garth Brooks
concert. I was
looking
right at it, the whole concert. Yeah, yeah. The south end zone.
But are the suites aren't operational yet? Maybe that's where Garth Brooks was hanging out backstage.
I think they probably are.
Well, they had all the carpet in and everything. They had all the finishings going in.
Yeah, looks amazing
stuff. I can't wait for you to invite me to the stadium this fall, buddy.
I'm right on it.
All right.
I'll just tell you.
We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got, I think Spencer Linton's going to join us next from KSL 5 Television. We'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.